You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
All right, guys, welcome everybody to another episode of UE Talk. We are now here from our home base. Yeah, we're not from the studio right now. And I got some special guests in the building.
On the phone.
Oh, and he just dropped.
I think we lost him. Just...
This is all bad.
He's been kidnapped over there.
This is all bad.
Well, while he's being kidnapped, I'll just shout out myself. My name is Daryl Pace. I represent the Wrestling Insiders at Michigan State University, where I had a wonderful opportunity to meet Deshaun. So thank you so much, Deshaun. And so I just shout myself out while you were right. Taking care of some business over there, Deshaun.
Hey, I'm at the crib, man, so I can do what I want to when I'm at home, bro. And we got my wonderful partner, the loquacious Lakeisha Coker. How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. Loquacious, though.
She's loquacious.
Loquacious. Lakeisha, let them know what we got coming up at Urban Embodiment before we bring our guests on.
Okay, so May 16th is our Small Business Expo. It is free to the public. We do have vendor tables available, so if you're interested in becoming a vendor and having a table, given everything is A-okay and we can go back outside, you can email us at urbanembodiment313@gmail.com. Also, we have a day bus trip to Carabana, Toronto coming up August 1st, given that the bridge is open back up and we can go back over there. Seats for that is $80 and $30 deposit to save a seat. You have to have an enhanced license or a passport. You also have to have a clean enough record to be able to cross the border. If you cannot cross the border, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave you. And also, one more thing, we have started a Supplies for Lives GoFundMe. So if you would like to make a donation, the donations we will use to buy medical supplies, the supply to donate to hospitals and nursing homes. So if you would like to give to our cause, email us at urbanembodiment313@gmail.com and I will send you the link to our GoFundMe.
That's what's up. Now also, isn't today Census Day where they need to get their census information?
Yes. The census surveys were sent out earlier in March. Sometime in March, they were all sent out. You can complete it online. If you cannot complete it online, I believe you can actually fill out the book and mail it back. So it's important to be accounted. This is how schools determine funding for students. This is how the city determines funding for different things based on the population. So please, if you haven't already, complete your census form either online or hard paper.
All right. Daryl, you filled yours out yet, man?
Yes, I did. My wife did it online. We did it. We're good.
Yes.
I will be counted. Will
be counted. Yes.
Well, today's episode is very special, and it's the reason we brought Daryl on for the Wrestling Insiders. We're going to bring in on the phone WCW Tag Team Champion multi-time with his brother Booker T. We're going to have a WWE Hall of Famer. That man's name is Stevie Ray. We're going to bring him in.
Oh, wow.
So, Jeff, before we bring him on the show, tell me some of your memories of Mr. Stevie Ray.
Oh, well, I've followed his career, him and Booker T, all the way from Global Championship Wrestling back in the day, you know, the Ebony Experience. You know, I followed them all the way to WCW when they started and, you know, and multiple time world champions. Just, you know, fantastic career. You know, he had opportunity to go solo, did a lot of good solo work. Just it's awesome opportunity. Can't wait to talk to him.
Most definitely. Now, another reason we brought him on, because WrestleMania is this weekend. Yep. But it's going to be a little bit different this year. With the coronavirus going through the world, it's done changed up everything. You was even supposed to have a WrestleMania party, man.
I was. I was. We're gonna. I'm a little nervous. About folks coming over this weekend. So we'll be trying to maybe zoom it or do something else. But yeah, I know. I mean, and I would expect it to see, you know, Booker T and Stevie Ray at the Hall of Fame, you know, presenting or doing something because they were inducted last year.
Right. Absolutely. So like watching these shows now with no fans, what do you think about that, man? Do you enjoy it? What do you think?
It's hard. It's just like a comedian, right? Because when a comedian's working, the joke can be great, but if there's no one there to laugh at it, it's hard. Especially with wrestling, where it's so fan based. You know, whether they're booing, they're throwing stuff, the signs, all of that, it makes the match so much hyper. You know, when fans get involved, and so when it's just empty arenas. You know, I don't even think the competitors can take it as serious, right? Because they don't have those fans to feed off. So the energy's drained. And I think, too, that, you know, there's some shortcuts with a lot of the, you know, old footage that they're showing to kind of fill time. You know, they got to fill 2 and 3 hours. It's rough. It's a bit rough to be a fan, right?
I agree, man. I was thinking that the other day. I'm like, Stone Cold did the stunner. And you know, we used to go crazy, or he does yep. Hell yeah, and there's no response.
There's no response.
My partner, Lakeisha, used to yep. Imagine doing a point. There's no audience.
Yeah.
But you're working to the back of the room. You know what I'm saying? How would yep. that have felt for you?
I think it's terrible. I do think, you know, with our AEW, by adding the wrestlers as fans, I think that was a good idea. I know with social distancing, I was thinking, well, just put the wrestlers out there and just have them sit 6 feet away, you know, kind of space out guys, just something that they can feed off of. I'm hoping they do a lot more creative stuff with, you know, some backstage, you know, skits or things that they can record and promos. The promos in the ring are really tough when there's no fans. I'd rather go old school with those old Mean Gene promos, which are sat, you know, shot in the back. You know, I think they might be able to do some of that stuff and be a little bit more creative with it, to be honest.
Now, let me give you a heads up right quick. My partner, Lakeisha, is known for her amazing facial expressions. So if you say something wild and you see her face do something crazy, that means you get her to pop. Since we don't got an audience, we're going to get her face to pop, right?
Lord have mercy. So, my face is not for hire, sir.
Oh, listen, it's going to be a billboard. We're going to sell advertisements on her face, man. That is. But now, last year, did you go to WrestleMania last year?
I was there in New York. We had a crazy trip there. By my wife, I wasn't expecting to go. My wife got me tickets. Me and my son, we flew out there. Met Pat Patterson actually in the airport. We had a great time. I've never done the Hall of Fame, but we did do, you know, WrestleMania. We're freezing. You're freezing at MetLife. So. But no, we had a great time. We've gone to the last, I think, four. I think I've been to like seven or eight WrestleManias at this point. So I have a streak going.
Because I didn't go to WrestleMania last year, but I did go to Raw and SmackDown at the Barclays yep. the next day. Okay. Yeah, I did go to that. So what was your favorite WrestleMania of all time?
I was at Sky Dome for Hogan and The Rock. And I have to say, without a doubt, that was the loudest. I'm not talking about forget WrestleMania. Any event I think I've been to, basketball game, that was the hottest crowd I have ever seen for anything. From we went, you know, like taking the subway to get to Sky Dome. People were chanting. People had signs. You know, Hogan was a heel, right? People were cheering for Hogan. I mean, it was insane. Hogan Rock chants going out the entire time outside the arena before you even got in there. I think that was probably the most insane crowd, hottest crowd I've ever seen.
I can believe that because I didn't see it live, but I watched it. I was at Hooters. Because Hooters used to show the movies. Yep. And people were going crazy. They were in the building.
Yep.
But do you think it compares? I know you were at WrestleMania, but Undertaker lost the streak as well.
Yes.
What was the reaction to that?
Different reaction, right? Because as far as just a hot crowd, just hot. I mean, after Hogan Rock, the crowd kind of died a little bit in Sky Dome. But the crowd was just hot all night through that whole match. For Undertaker and Brock, I mean, obviously when he lost, I mean, people were shocked. People were more confused. They were kind of like, well, what happened? Like, oops, ref messed up. They're going to restart it. Or where's the guy that's going to run in to restart this because they made a mistake? It was like people were looking around until they put that sign up on the Titantron that said, you know, was it 21-1? That no one really understood what that meant at that point. It was shock. It was quiet.
Because they didn't even play they hadn't even played this music yet.
They didn't play any music. It was just silence. It was silence in that. So that was, I mean, like I said, hype crowd too, but a different experience.
So what do you think about Roman pulling out, man?
I mean, you got to do what you got to do for health. I mean, you know, when stuff's going on, I mean, people are dying out here in the streets. You know, so I mean, if he's got a pre-existing conditions, you know, blood diseases, because it's not just, you know, people with lung diseases, heart diseases, or high blood pressure, hypertension. That's why, you know, brothers is dying more than other people because, you know, we got a lot of hypertension and stuff going on. So hey, it's not worth dying for. So I get it. You know, if he didn't feel comfortable, it's kind of hard though, like a week before. So hopefully they did something if it's me, let him get injured. I'd rather get some heat on it. Like somebody beat the heck out of him as opposed to just, you know, I can't wrestle tonight. I'd rather turn heel. I mean, do something, do something to get some money out of it long-term.
I agree. And just say you walk away and go on TMZ and just, like, you know, I don't know. The continuity, you giving a mark something bad about. They already don't like you, Roman. They just add that in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Keisha, real quick, Keisha said something that we were talking, you talked about earlier, about this corona. And I don't want to go too deep into that, but he said brothers are getting sick and passing more. You had some information that you sent me the other day. What was, or was that earlier?
No, that was earlier today. The percentage, of as far as genders, the percentage of men dying in Michigan, this is only off Michigan statistics, was like double the women. So I think it was like 68% men. Of all the deaths in Michigan, 68% were men, and I think like 34% were women. And then it was like 1% custom, which are probably like, you know, transgender individuals maybe, or people that don't identify with a certain gender.
Well, you know, like I said, I think part of it is men might be less likely to go to doctors and follow up on their health, and that might be something in general. But if you look at it, I think initially it was like, oh, it's a lung, you know, it's a lung illness, and so that could be anybody. But when I start going on Facebook and I start seeing like some of the faces coming up, and it's like, wait a minute, you know, the businessmen, black businessmen, black owners of this and that. I'm like, wait a minute. So we start looking at it, like, what's going on? And I think, one of the attackers is those that have high blood pressure. And so, you know, black males, that certainly falls in our wheelhouse. Especially when you start seeing young black males become susceptible to this, I think a lot of that could be related to hypertension and other, you know, pre-existing conditions. So.
And I stand corrected. It was 65% men and 35% women.
So we ain't that far off. Just like 30% of us. So go to the doctor, fellas. Take y'all bus to the doctor. Get checked out, man.
Yeah.
Don't be scared of that little thing you're going to get at 40 years old. Don't be scared of it, man. Yeah. Now, we tried to run this show yesterday, but we had some technical difficulties. But my partner brought up something to Mr. Stevie Ray that we're going to talk about as well. The WWE ice cream bars.
Oh boy!
You remember those suckers, man? Did you ever? Who's your favorite one, man?
I remember those at the events. I went to an event. I had one. I think it was Macho Man ice cream bar or something like that. The first event I went to was at the Joe. It was Savage and Hogan. I think it was right. I didn't go to WrestleMania 3. So my mom didn't know about WrestleMania 3, and she didn't. Yeah, she didn't know about it. I was like, she didn't know about it. And then I was like, oh, man, WrestleMania. And she felt so bad that the next time they came to town, she took me. And so it was Hogan and Savage. I remember that. And I did have, I think, a Savage ice cream bar. I don't know if they were in the stores. Like, every place didn't have them. But I know I do remember that moment in back in the day. And back in the, what, 87, it had to be.
It was on the ice cream truck.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Certain trucks. But it wasn't everywhere. Not everyone had the ice cream bars.
Yeah, my ice cream truck lady, she had them every time.
So, Daryl, your favorite match that you've ever seen, would it be Hogan and Rock, or did you have another favorite match that drew you in?
Well, live, I have to say Hogan and Rock. That's probably my favorite match live. Certainly Steamboat and Savage, one of my most favorite matches. That WrestleMania 3 card is just, that's an event I can watch over and over and over again. I love that card. I like Piper and Adonis. I'm an old school guy. So all the Saturday night main event stuff, I love that stuff. I mean, that stuff for me is, I think that up until, you know, when the Attitude Era really started going. So I really love that stuff. I remember being a little kid and those Hogan comebacks, and as a little kid watching that stuff live on Saturday night's main event, getting all excited. So, Savage Steamboat, certainly. And then, Hogan Rock, that was a big one to be at.
Okay. Yeah, I actually went to WrestleMania 3 myself. 7 years old, and it was at the Silver Dome. And I know we was way up there in the sky, man. You know what I'm saying? I was probably on the roof down there. But I did see it. I remember that. And I remember going crazy for Hogan when he dropped the leg on Andre. I've been a fan ever since. But you said you were an old school guy.
Old school
guy. So have you got into all that and all that stuff going on now, man?
Yeah, I mean, everything going on now, but I've been watching AEW. I don't like, I'm like a Jim Cornette. I don't like, people teleporting and stuff like that. I don't like that. I'm old. I'm too old for that. I like wrestling to be treated as legitimately as possible, considering it's wrestling. I like a movie. You know, you are in a movie, you're into it. I love a good movie. I love a good action film. That's what I want. I want my wrestling to be as authentic as you can be with wrestling.
Now, do you feel like wrestling, like way back, when and going up until now, do you feel like it's kind of lost the sport to it and it's more so more acting than it is a sport?
I think it's I don't like to see dances. I think there's a lot of stuff where it's too choreographed. I don't think it's some of the stuff doesn't have the intensity. Where it was like two guys. Like, if you watch some stuff from the 80s, it's like it starts off with just two guys ready to beat the heck out of each other and really want to win something. Here it's like, people talking and dancing and flipping and stuff. And it's like, well, I'm not trying to win a match. I'm just trying to look pretty. And I think you can do both. I mean, if you got, there's people, great athletes, you can get that stuff in, but do it in a way that's, I love the Dynamite Kid. If you watch anything on YouTube with the Dynamite Kid in Japan or anything like that, he does the exact same – innovator. He does the exact same stuff you would see anybody on AEW doing. But
– hello? Yeah, hello? Stevie Ray, yeah. Welcome to the show, sir. How are you doing?
What's up? I'm good, man.
Well, good. Welcome to UE Talk, man. We had to bring it back to tonight for you, bro.
Good. Very good.
Can you hear pretty well? Okay. Well, we got Daryl. Yeah. Daryl, say hello to him. And Lakeisha, please say hello.
Hey.
Hello, Stevie Ray. Big fan here.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Long time. I remember watching Global back in the day. So, Ebony Experience. I go all the way back.
I hear you. That was a long time ago.
That was, we were just talking about. Now, we were just talking about your Hall of Fame induction. How did it feel when you got inducted into the Hall of Fame last year, man?
I mean, it was a great honor. And
it was cool, man. It was a lot of work, though. I didn't know I was going to be working that much for like 4 or 5 days, but it was cool, man. It was cool. I had a good time.
Now prior to that, I was going to jump in. Prior to that, had you done other work with WWE prior to the Hall of Fame? I know, you know, you weren't active, but as a wrestler, but behind the scenes.
Yeah, I have. Yeah. You know, I've been on a legend contract for several years.
Sweet, sweet. How come they didn't get you in the game? I wanted to get you in 2K19, 2K20.
You know, I don't even keep up with them. I don't know when I'm in them and when I'm not. You know, because I've never played video games in my life. And I don't really keep up with, you know, if I'm in a game or not. You know what I'm saying? Someone usually tells me. But I don't even know when the games come out. And I really just don't pay attention to anything that's got anything to do with professional wrestling. Especially stuff like that. That's for kids. That's for kids. You know, if I'm in it, send me the check.
Yeah, you might want to keep up with that and make sure you get your royalty checks.
Well, the checks come automatically. I don't have to keep up with them to get the check. They come automatically.
That's what's going on, man. Now, I know you're semi-retired because I know you and Book did a show not too long, but it was 6 months or a year ago at Reality of Wrestling. True.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's true.
They, so, they even have rumors, is, right? So how was that?
Okay. Huh? I'm sorry. What was that?
I was just going to say they had some rumors that you and Booker T might be coming back to, you know, to do something. Was there any truth to that?
I don't pay attention to rumors, brother.
That's good to hear. That's
you might hear rumors, man, of me. You might hear rumors of me doing anything. If I didn't say it, then I don't pay attention to it. If I got something to say, you will see it on my Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, or whatever. Podcast or something. If I don't say it, don't pay attention to it.
Now, speaking of your podcast, could you let our listeners know exactly the name of your podcast and where they can listen to it at?
Straight Shooting with Stevie Ray. My old podcast was called Stand Up for Greatness. But I'm starting a new podcast. Well, actually, I've been doing some of this stuff on YouTube, but I'm getting ready. I just signed a contract with the Realm Network, and they're going to be taking care of all of that and putting my podcast out there on all the outlets and stuff like that. And I'm going to be on Twitter and Patreon.
Okay. Good to hear.
Yeah.
Now, the other
and
night,
I also do another part. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Last week, Dark Side of the Ring came on with Chris Benoit. I know you was in WCW with Chris Benoit. Chance to take a look at it, the documentary, and what did you think of it?
Yeah, I thought it was a very good documentary. For all intensive purposes of entertainment, very good.
Okay. So, and you don't have to bash anybody or whatever, but knowing Chris Benoit and what happened, like, did you ever expect anything like that to happen with him? Or for you, it was out of the blue, too, same way, like everybody else.
I'm sorry, what was that again? I didn't understand you.
Oh, I was saying, you know, knowing Chris Benoit, because I know you worked with him in WCW. Did you expect anything like that, or was he not the type of guy when you guys were working together in the company?
I mean, to be honest about it, does anybody actually expect anything like that? I mean, unless you're the kind of person that's a known serial killer, how would me or anybody else expect something like that out of another human being that you know personally? But I think I know what you're trying to ask, but if you're asking if Chris Benoit is the kind of person that would kill somebody, I don't know if I know of anybody kind of person that would kill somebody. I don't know.
I get you.
To be honest, I know.
Go ahead. I was saying, well, before you came on, let's talk about something. You know, we were talking about WrestleMania this week. How are they going to do it without any fans? So, I know you said you watch a couple of shows, and you know they're not having the show, the fans, because of what's going on. But how do you think, how was it to receive right. that, to watch it as a viewer without any fans?
You know, really and truly, brother, I'm the last guy to ask about that because I don't watch WrestleManias anyway. From a fan's perspective, I think that's something you, I think that's something you need to go ask a fan that spends money on stuff like that, because I don't. So I don't know, and really, I really don't know, and I really could care less, because even the WrestleManias I've been at, I didn't even watch them. I was just there because I had to be there.
I get it.
But a lot of times you got to realize, you know, wrestling companies are still a business. A lot of people just look at the wrestling. The wrestlers are just performers. That's a $1 billion business, and they got 10,000 companies and different people attached to it. Some things is beyond their control. They can't get out of contracts for sponsors, this, that, and the other, that them paid for television time, that them paid for advertising, so things like that. So a lot of things are just bigger than the show itself. It's just big business. And in big business, the show must go on.
To that point, like if younger, wrestlers, up and coming, kids come to you for advice, is there anything that you kind of give them that says, hey, if you're getting started in this business, this is what I would tell you to do or look out for?
You know what I tell young guys that's coming up, if you don't love it, don't do it. Because if you're getting into it just to be famous or so on and so forth, you ain't going to make it in the first place. Wrestling is entertainment business, period, is a hard business. Not just wrestling. Wrestling is a part of the tentacles of the entertainment business. And how many people we see in the entertainment business self-destruct? A lot of them you know, a lot of them you don't know. And this has been going on for a zillion years. And the professional wrestling business ain't no different than a lot of the entertainment business, man. It's not what people make it out to be. It can be great if you got the mind for it. If you don't have the mind for it, it's going to eat you alive and you're not going to make it in the first place. You better love it. When I say love, and how many times have you ever heard the old adage, you got to sacrifice to be successful at anything? What are you willing to sacrifice?
Yeah, I feel you. And like you were talking about entertainment, I know you also work with like some musicians in your area too, right?
I'm sorry. Work with what?
You work with like some local artists, musical artists as well, don't you?
Oh yeah, I've been working with a bunch of different artists and different things for, I don't know, 30 years, 30 something years. So I've been around the entertainment business a long time, way before I got into the professional wrestling business. That's why when I got into the professional wrestling business, I had already talked to many, many people that had been in the industry. So I knew what to expect when I got into it. So it didn't affect me like it affected a lot of other people.
That's definitely a good thing to hear, man. I know a lot of people, like you said, they get eaten up by the entertainment industry. You know, and you guys stay strong for so many years, So I got to ask you, how's your brother?
That's if you make it. He's good. My brother still works for Vince.
Yeah. I know he's still doing his thing over there, man. Still doing his thing.
Yeah, my brother. So I see y'all. Yeah, my brother said work with us.
Now, do you help train down there at Reality of Wrestling? I said, do you help train down there also at Reality of Wrestling?
Not anymore. We got guys that do that now.
Okay.
Yeah, you hire people to do that.
Now, when you broke in, was it, you know, as far as wrestling goes, was it something that you were a fan of wrestling, or is it just kind of, you know, you saw an opportunity and took it? Was it something like a dream to do it, or how did you really get involved in it, and how was your passion for it?
Actually, I've been a fan of wrestling my whole life. Actually, I'm a historian. I'm a historian of a lot of things. But wrestling was just something, you know, I had an opportunity to try. I never looked at it like something I wanted to have a career at or anything like that. I already had a career when I got into professional wrestling. I already had my own security and bodyguard companies. I didn't need professional wrestling. But I just, you know, I was always a fan of anything physical. I would always try, you know what I'm saying? Like bodybuilding, boxing, karate. You know, I'll try anything. I never thought it would go anywhere. I just wanted to try it. And, you know, 30 years later, 31 years later, you that's what happened, you know?
Now, as a historian, like who are you fans of, like, or a fan of, like, who, you know, kind of growing up, if you said, hey, I want to be this guy, you know?
I ain't never wanted to be like anybody, to be honest. I'm fans of people, but I never want to be like anybody. To be like somebody, that means you want to grow up to be like them and be a professional wrestler. That's never was a dream of mine. But I've been fans of a zillion people, man. You know, I'm just a fan of professional wrestling, period.
Well, I got to ask you this. Now we finally got a lot more brothers in the business. I know when you broke in, it wasn't a whole lot of us, a lot of brothers in the business. What do you think about the progression now that finally letting us a lot of us in the business, man? Well, we getting in the business. I should say let us be in. Getting in the business.
But in all actuality, there were more prominent professional wrestlers that was African-American yesterday than there are today. The only thing is, what you see today is two companies or a couple of companies here and there. Back in the day, you had 27 territories between Canada and the United States. And each one of them had African-American wrestlers. See, that's the part people don't know anything about. So there were many professional wrestlers dating all the way back to the 50s and 60s, probably even beyond that. What you're seeing today is nothing. So in all actuality, and with all due respect, I don't even know how you could say something like that.
You're right. You're definitely right, man, because I know we did have some of the day. But I guess now, because we got two companies on TV, it does try to showcase them a little bit more. But you're absolutely right, because I know we did have some in the regional area.
I mean, you take Bobby Lashley, The New Day, and this new tag team that just came out. What else do you have in WWE other than R-Truth doing the old slapstick stuff that they've been making us do for years? That's a lot of people.
And that's a good point. You know, how do you feel about that? Like in WWE, almost every wrestler has to sing or dance.
That's not a WWE thing. That is a professional wrestling thing. If that makes sense. Professional wrestling always has looked at the African American in a character type way, in a stereotypical type way. That is how white America looks at you when you walk down the street. So professional wrestling is not going to be any different. Even though you could be a banker, You could be a lawyer. You could be a doctor. You could be this, that, and the other. But on a grand scale, white people look at you to sing and dance and entertain.
Yeah.
And so just because the moniker. Huh?
No, because because if I'm not mistaken, when you guys originally came into WCW, they tried to have Colonel Parker do some type of crazy racist gimmick with y'all, right?
Actually, no. And that's a misconception that so many people have twisted, turned inside out, inverted. And that's how lore stuff in historic lore gets started when people don't know what they're talking about. To be honest, Colonel, me and my brother was having a tryout match. Does anybody know, do any of you guys know what a tryout match is? Oh, okay, if you don't know, I'll tell you. Okay. A tryout match is a dark match. A dark match is when you go out and work in front of people, but the cameras are not on. The night in Atlanta, we went to do a dark match. Colonel Parker didn't even supposed to be out there with us. And somebody told him to come out with us. And Colonel Parker was saying, hey, I don't supposed to go out with these guys. He was working that night with the people he was working with. When they cut the cameras back on, he was working because they were doing the TV taping. Colonel Parker came out with us and with his white suit on and all that. And me and my brother came out to do our dark match. We hadn't even had anything in stone yet. This was just a dark match. We weren't Harlem Heat. If you see what I'm saying, we had to come in and prove ourselves like a lot of people do. It wasn't like it is today where somebody package you up, put all this fancy stuff on you and throw you out there and you either sink or swim. It wasn't like that back in those days. So we went out and did our dark match and Colonel Parker came out with us. And then so everybody looked at the picture and go, what the fuck is this? If you see what I'm saying. That's how that whole thing went down. And that's what I'm saying. Okay. I've been hearing this for years of people saying like they were there. Oh, they did this, they did that. No, it was just a big misunderstanding. That's what it was. And I'm like, I didn't really know it got to the masses the way it did because it was a dark match. It's not even on. Have you seen the match?
No, I think the most I saw was a steal or something on YouTube.
I mean, has anybody seen the match? Because I've never seen it. How are you going to see it? It was never even taped.
Now, when you guys started, you transitioned to Sherry from was Colonel Parker with you guys for a while and then you transitioned to Sherry or is it once they established you?
What is it about plain English that I'm not really relating to you right now?
I think I got confused because I know Sherry and Colonel Parker kind of like hooked up, right? So that was two, three years later. Yeah.
Colonel Parker was an angle that we were doing with him later on. He was already managing other people. So I really don't understand the question.
I think he would just ask you, about Sherry Martel was your manager.
Of course.
How was that working with Sherry? Yeah, how was that working with Sherry?
Great. It was great. It was great. I mean, Sherry is a worker. Sherry is a real worker. She's not some pretty face that you see nowadays or even back in those days where they just take somebody and put them with somebody. We didn't want that because they were even trying to audition other guys. And we was telling them, we don't want a manager. That's another one of these cliches where white people look at black people and go, we need somebody to talk for them. I don't need nobody on earth to talk for me. I know how to talk. That was one of the things I went to school for, to learn how to talk. I used to DJ and work in radio, so I know how to talk. But mere fact that in the medulla of their brains, they figure this is what you do with the African American wrestler, and we wasn't having it. So one day, I think Sheridan was doing the angle with Randy Savage and Hulk Hogan. And one day we saw Sherry at one of our TV tapings, and she was like, "Hey, I heard y'all was looking for a manager." I said, "No, they looking, WCW looking for a manager. We not. We just trying to figure out how to tell them we're not doing that. We just want to be who we are." And then she was like, "Well, what if I was your manager?" And we thought she was kidding. And we were like, "Word?" And she was like, "Yeah, I think it'd be fun." And me and my brother looked at each other and was like, "Hell yeah, that works." And then we just started talking and putting things together. Then we went to the office and said, "Hey, this is what we want to do." And they was like, "Okay, cool." But like we always would say, well, you're not a manager. You're part of the team.
Hmm.
That's why we called her Sister Sherry, not Sensational Sherry.
For sure. Well, you know what? Like I said, we've been having a great time talking with you. Daryl, if you want to ask him one more question before we close out, man, because we've got to get ready to close the show off. But if you want to hit him with one more thing right quick.
One last thing. You know, when you guys had such great competition in WCW, was there thoughts about going to the WWE? You know, even though I'm glad you didn't, because I thought that from a tag team point of view, they had the best competition out there, and you had the best matches. But what did you guys ever think about WWE? Did anything almost come to play? Going to
actually, you're funny you bring that up, because we were. We were just waiting for our contracts to go out, and we had already accomplished all we could accomplish in WCW. And we were like, well, hey, let's go to WWE as soon as our contracts were up. And actually, we were talking to WWE through a liaison, kind of going over some of the stipulations and stuff that we wanted if we signed and stuff like that, because we couldn't legally talk to them because we were still under contract. So we were talking through a go-between. I can't mention who it was, but we were talking through a go-between. And I don't know what happened. I don't know if WCW got light of it or whatever. And one day they pulled us in the office and said, we're tearing you guys' contracts up, and we're going to sign you for this, and we're going to give you this, and we're going to give you... I mean, stuff we didn't even negotiate for. It was like, okay, you know what I'm saying? It was like three times the money that we were making. First class seats on the airplane, hotel, rent a car. We didn't even have nothing else to negotiate. We didn't. Certain amount of days off per year, all this stuff. So that's why we end up staying in WCW.
Hey, don't blame you one bit, man. Don't blame you one bit.
No, I'm just answering his question, man.
Don't blame you one bit, but I do want to say thank you for coming on the show. And I do got to also say, I loved it when you were the leader of the NWO Black and White. We loved all that, man. And we really do love all the work that you've done for this business. Us as fans watching it, understand, we love the fact that we saw somebody that looked like us doing their thing on TV and just being special with it, man. So I want to say special salute to you, all right?
Hey, man, I appreciate it, man. And, no problem, brother. Appreciate you guys.
And if you want to say right quick one more time, what you got coming up before we let you go so they can check out.
Like I say, man, just stay tuned for Straight Shooting with Stevie Ray. Should be coming in the next week or two. I say no more than a couple of weeks. And brother, it's going to be a nightly show Monday through Thursday. I also do a podcast with Vince Russo called Black and White. That drops every Thursday. And I also do another podcast with a friend of mine, Aubrey Klein. And that's a podcast called Wrestling with History. So keep your eyes open with all of that, brother. I'm super busy. And my new YouTube channel. Man, I got a lot of stuff going on there. Hey, trying to make it work, bro.
My God. Well, you know what, Stevie? Once again, thank you very much for calling us in. We appreciate you, man. Go ahead and do your thing. Salute to you, my guy.
Appreciate it, brother.
All right.
Thank you. Yep.
All right. Well, guys, we had some energy right there. We had WWE Hall of Famer Stevie Ray on the show, and he brought it. He gave us everything we expected from Mr. Stevie Ray. But before we go, Daryl, if you want to say a couple things right quick, because now we come into the segment, we call it Talk Yo-ish.
Okay. Well,
you can talk about anything you want to. I don't have it here. I'm sorry. I don't have it here. I don't have it with me. But it's called Talk Yo-ish. So you can talk about anything you got coming up, or because I know you got some stuff coming up with the son and everything.
Yeah,
The school.
Yes. So. Oh yeah, no, definitely. So I'll shout out the Canterbury Academy. That's an online school that my wife, myself, and I put together. It was something we're already doing, offering online courses to kids, particularly those that are homeschooled. So maybe you're homeschooling your kid and you're good at math, but you need somebody help in history or English or whatever. You know, that's something that our online school supports. And certainly, you know, with these days where everybody's home, it can certainly come in handy. So if you check out thecanterburyacademy.org, and you can check out what we're doing, you know, for homeschool and other events in the neighborhood.
Okay, and you have an email address they get a hold of you at?
Yeah, thecanterburyacademy.org is probably the best one. That's the website. Check it out. The other thing that we do, or my son does, is he's a golfer, so he has golf number four kids. That's a drive for kids in foster care every summer. And so we're hoping everything goes well this year. You know, we have folks out. You can donate toys. It's basically a toy drive for kids in foster care because, these are kids that are in, you know, either people are housing them, but they only have temporary custody of the kids or they're living in group homes and stuff like that. And we want to make their Christmas special. So that's something my son does. So, again, I'll shout that out as well.
Okay, that's what's up, man. And I got to say, like I said, I know this guy from Michigan State, Wrestling Insiders of Michigan State University. He's been doing this thing. And it's funny, Stevie talked about what he did.
Yep.
Because you are like the black professional in the world. Like, seriously. We ain't going to talk about what you do in your real life. He's like the biggest black professional ever, for real. Like, he's a superstar. But anyway, Daryl, thank you for popping up with us tonight. Hope you enjoyed yourself as well.
Oh, no, I had a great time. I mean, I like Stevie Ray. Stevie Ray is a serious – it's always interesting, you know, because we're fans, and he's a businessman, you know, and it's like, you know, the fan is a part, but it's also for me, you know, it's very clear, it came across, you know, across very clear, this is a businessman, and it's a business for him too. So that was very interesting, you know, get his take on some of that stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Daryl, like I said, thank you very much, and we will talk to you later too, man.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Now, LaKeisha, let them know what we got coming up one more time, and you can talk about anything you want to.
I've been quiet for the last 30 minutes.
I don't know why.
Well, you just seem so excited to get your questions in. I dare not interrupt the master. So, once again, May 16th, we have our Small Business Expo coming up. It's actually going to be at the Hazel Park Community Center. That's 620 Wilbur Heights. It's free to the public, but if you would like to be a vendor and purchase a table, email us at urbanembodiment313@gmail.com. In August, given that we can cross the bridge, we're having a day trip to Carabana. That's August, Saturday, August 1st. Seats for that is $80. To secure a seat is $30, and then the remaining balance is due in mid-July. You do need an enhanced license or passport to be able to cross the border. If you can't cross the border and you board the bus, we're going to have to leave you at the border. Also, we have started a GoFundMe, Supplies for Lives, and we're collecting money to buy medical supplies to donate to the hospitals and local nursing facilities that are in need. So if you'd like to contribute to that, send an email to urbanembodiment313@gmail.com and we will send you the link to the GoFundMe. Also, for my Michiganders, if you have any questions about anything corona in Michigan, be sure to visit www.michigan.gov/coronavirus. All the executive orders and directives are there, so make sure you read them so there's no misconception about what you can and cannot do.
The real ones, not the ones y'all just keep making up on their own on Facebook.
The actual orders, all 30 of them, all 30 of them are there. And also there's a list of volunteer opportunities and resources too for those who may be in need at this time.
Well, guys, we're about to close out. And Lakeisha, I got to say this. We've had a super run here with Podcast Detroit. Would you not agree?
We have. We have a great time. Yes, it was lovely.
Well, next week is our season finale. So we're going to do the season finale. We got to go back to our base, the thing that started it all with us. We're going to finish it off with our virtual Find a Bait speed dating right here next Tuesday. And we're probably still be locked in this thing because I don't think they're letting us out of here still. So we're going to be still locking our houses next week. But season finale, a virtual Find a Bait speed dating right here on UE Talk. So make sure you check back in. We should be back Tuesday, though, our real time at 7. So I am Deshaun with Dog Whipple and
I'm Lakeisha.
And thank you for being a guest. I'm Daryl. <Right.
laughs> And we will see y'all next Tuesday. Take care, everybody.
Good night.